And welcome again to Cottage Talk. I am Russ Goldman, and making his debut as a co-host is Andrew Iliff. In this episode, we will be previewing the upcoming match for Fulham against Leeds United. We have much to get through in this preview episode, but I have to welcome to the show a brand new co-host. Andrew, welcome to Cottage Talk.
Hi, Russ. Thanks for having me. It's good to be here.
Listen, it's good to have you on, my friend. You and I were talking off air. You contacted me that you wanted to be a co-host, and I'm happy to have you join us to join the Cottage Talk family. Tell everyone a little bit about yourself and how you became a Fulham supporter.
It's a bit of an odd one, really. I moved to London about 8-9 years ago, and it was quite hard to get back to Derby, where I'm originally from, to watch Derby. Derby was my first ever team. I still follow Derby as well. But I came down to London, went to a few matches with Fulham in the Europa League, and just got hooked ever since, really. It reminds me of the old baseball ground. It's a, you know, bang in the middle of a, I would say a housing estate, but, you know, it's a great area, great club, great fans, nice family club. And it just reminded me of home, and it was a bit of comfort away from home. And ever since then, about 6 years ago, since we got our first season ticket, been going every week, and, you know, very keen to see them do well, and very excited for what the season brings.
Okay, very good, my friend. And listen, again, welcome to Cottage Talk. I hope you come back again and again as a co-host. You know, we enjoy new co-hosts, so if anyone wants to be a co-host, they can actually contact me. I have no issues with having brand new co-hosts, and I'm glad that you're joining us tonight, my friend. Let's start the show. Let's talk about some speculation. Everyone enjoys some good speculation. Let's start here. This is some speculation that I'm not too crazy about. I'm sure you're not as well. We saw it a good amount over the Wheaton, over this weekend. Tottenham Hotspur reportedly are going to make a bid for young Ryan Sessegnon. What are your thoughts about this? This isn't unexpected. We saw some speculation before regarding him, and I think we're just going to have to deal with this with this young player because he has a huge future ahead of him.
Yeah, I saw that. I think they were looking at £3 million. And for me, it's not surprising. I hope it amounts to nothing. I saw him in the first game when they played Palace on the last friendly, and he really surprised me. He was confident. He could pick a ball. He could pick a pass. He could, you know, run at the players and get a ball into the box. And he was really refreshing to see. And I hadn't heard an awful lot about him because I've yet to really go watch the under 21s at Motspur Park, but. I was just amazed that he was 16, the way he was composed and the way he went about his game. And let's not forget, he was up against what was a very, very strong Palace team. Granted, they may be 2 or 3 weeks behind in terms of fitness, but nonetheless, he's up against a Premier League team and he held his own very, very well. I think he's got a very bright future. But for me personally, £3 million, it's not worth it. I wouldn't entertain the idea of that at all. I think, you know, the right club is for Fulham for him, and I think history would show that, you know, we've got a good, you know, a good track record of producing players from the academy, and there's no reason why he can't kick on, as Jukanovic has said, and get some games this year, whether it be in the cup or in the league, and really grow as a player. But the one thing that really, you know, amazed me about it is, you know, we're talking. The first game of the season, there was a bit of a debate whether he should start or not. And, well, that's fantastic that we're having this debate for someone that's only just turned 16. You know, he's got to grow as a player, grow as a man. And I think there's a lot can be said for him. I think he's got a very bright future. I just hope it amounts to nothing. And I can't see him getting in the Spurs first team or getting the experience that would require him to kick on.
You know what's funny about this, Andrew? I think Fulham is the best place for him. Listen, he's been there, I believe, since 9 years old, along with his brother. So he's been at the Academy for a long period of time, so he obviously enjoys being a Fulham. So let's just hope that this comes to nothing. £3 million for me is a joke for a player with this much potential. He cannot sign a contract. Mike has talked about this until he turns 17. So we're going to be dealing with this. We're going to be hearing about this. And I just think that we just have to weather the storm and hope Ryan Sessegnon, when he does turn 17, signs a professional contract with Fulham. And then we could take it from there. There's not much they can do right now. And we just got to hope that he wants to stay. And like I said, he's been with the club for a long time. And that's why I'm hopeful, Andrew, that he will stay.
Absolutely. I think if you are to even entertain selling him at this point in time, what does it say about the club?
Exactly.
What does
Good
it
point.
Say about the ambition? Yeah,
right.
I don't
and
think it's worth entertaining.
No, I was just about to say, because listen, they just lost some of their best Academy players. So it would be a bad precedent to continue that, to lose someone that people are touting as the next Gareth Bale. I mean, that's what this kid is going to be living up to, because he already has this notoriety at 16 years old. So it would set a bad taste in everyone's mouth, and also in the footballing world, that teams can just poach your players, your best players.
Yeah.
So for me, they need to stay firm and not sell the kid, and just let's hope when he does turn 17 that he signs his contract with Fulham.
Absolutely. I think you've got to look at, you know, for me it's a bit of a sore one with Patrick Roberts. He went to City.
Yeah.
And you could see that he wasn't going to play at City. City can effectively buy pretty much anyone in the world. And I know he's at Celtic now, but I thought the best place was at Fulham, at least for another season. You know, if he has got the ambition to go on and play for a Premier League team like that, fair play, you can't knock that, but I think you have to do it when the timing's right. And certainly I thought with Roberts when he went, it wasn't the right time. And I just hope that Sessegnon understands that, you know, he's got a long career ahead of him. He's played one full game for Fulham competitively, and he played a very good match against Crystal Palace. And I think it's testament to those around him at the academy that, you know, he's come in and impressed. And if he can do that and have that impression after two games, who knows what he can do after, you know, a couple of seasons. It's the future's bright. I just think he needs to get his head down, crack on, work hard, and be the player he can be.
Right. And going back to Patrick Roberts, and I'll throw Emerson Hyman in there as well, Andrew, compared to, say, Ryan Sessegnon, I think the manager/head coach is a factor here, because Kit, before him, did not really play the youth, the academy players. Did not give them a chance. I'm talking about Emerson Hyman and Pat Roberts, to grow. Well, now you're seeing Slavica giving this 16-year-old kid a chance to grow, and others as well, to really be part of that first team unit. So to me, that's a good sign for the future, my friend, is that the mentality under Slavica is different than under Kit.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it was interesting to read one of his comments. It's the other day, saying it's a squad game after the Orient game, I believe it was. You know, he's looking to utilise the squad. He's part of the squad, and it's good to see that, you know, he's able to pick a team, use the squad, and hopefully keep people happy. It's not easy picking, you know, 11 players a week. There are going to be some people that are unhappy, some that feel they should play, some that maybe deserve to play. It's a tricky one, and I just hope that, you know, I hope he cracks on and have a good season, you know, has a good season, and that, you know, develops. He's 16. He's still a boy. let's be perfectly straight about this. He's got to grow physically as well as a player, and I think he's at the right place. And I think if he kind of carries on the way he is and showing that faith and belief in him, then, you know, it could be a very good season for him, and let's hope it is.
Absolutely, and I think he'll get his chance. And that's what's interesting about Jokanović. Jokanović has already played a decent amount of youngsters in the League Cup match, which I think was the right thing to do. With all these matches coming up, I definitely think his approach against Leyton Orient was the right approach. And you saw, you know, you threw them threw all these young players in the deep part of the ocean, and they were able to swim. And that's what's and that's encouraging. It wasn't just Sessegnon. There were a bunch of them that actually played well in that match, and that's encouraging. And I do like the fact that the philosophy seems to be a little bit different. Listen, I thought Kit did a very good job for Fulham in keeping us up and progressing to stay in the league. But when it came to bringing players along, the youngsters, it just wasn't the thing that he was about. He wasn't about doing that. But Slavisa seems to be open to it. McGath was too. McGath was nuts, Andrew. Let's put that there. He did play some of the youngsters, though. But Slavisa seems to be at least to have a plan. I think we see where he's going on this. But I love the fact that he has them part of the first team. So many of them are training with the first team and feel a part of the first team. I think that could be a big thing for the future, my friend.
No, absolutely. And just to pick up on something you've made there, you know, letting them train with the first team, it must be huge. It must be a huge thing for them to go in on, you know, a Monday or Tuesday morning to train with the first team and to feel part of something. And it must give you the confidence, you know, as a player to say that what you're doing is along the right track. And I think it's... I think it's testament to the manager and so far that he's done well. I hope the speculation is just speculation. It's too early for him to even entertain the idea. Let's not forget, he's had two games out there in the spotlight. A, with Palace, you could argue as a friendly, but with Leyton Orient. I'm absolutely delighted with the Borough Cup tie as well, and I think it'll be a good test for the youngsters to go out there. And even if Borough were to play a second string team, it still will be a very good competitive team. And I think it'll be a great test for the youngsters to see how they get on. And I think the future's bright.
I think it's very bright too. And I'm glad that you brought up the Middlesbrough match coming up, because we have so many matches coming up very quickly. And Slavisa has a decision to make when it comes to that League Cup match. Andrew, will he play the youngsters? It's a very interesting situation he has in front of him, because listen, the youngsters played well against Leyton Orient, but now you're talking about playing Middlesbrough, different type of competition, a Premier League team now. So it'll be interesting to see if he does go that youth wave again against Middlesbrough and see if they can swim once again. All right, my friend, let's move on. I'm sorry. Do you have anything else you wanted to add?
No. It's fine. Thank you.
Okay. Let's move on. And another piece of speculation you and I were talking off air, something that I saw last week, that there was speculation that Fulham could be making a bid for Celtic central midfielder Stefan Johansson. I believe the speculation was around £2 million. I've watched some video on him. You have as well. What are your thoughts about this speculation, and do Fulham need another central midfielder?
I think this is it's not the first time we've heard speculation on Johansson. He, having seen what he can do, you know, on the online clips, he seems to be a very tricky and very good player, and he seems to be of the mould that Slavisa is looking for. It'll be interesting to see where he plays. It looks like he could play either central, defensive, or attacking. But from what I've seen so far, it would appear that he's, you know, more attacking. He's got a great left foot on him. He's good on set pieces, which is something that, you know, is only going to be of benefit to Fulham. You know, he's not afraid to shoot outside of the box. He scores some great goals, and he can play a good ball in to get the assists as well. I mean, I'm not sure what the situation is with him up at Celtic, whether he's likely to get a game this year or whether he fits into Rodgers' plans, but for me, he looks a good player. He looks of the mould that Jukanovic is after. Got a bit of pace on him, able to pick a pass and not afraid to go at the defenders. And I think it will only be of benefit to Fulham to have cover in that area. You know, we've got Parker, we've got McDonald there that are playing very well at the moment, as well as Tunnicliffe. And I think you've touched upon it earlier, with the number of games that we have coming, I think it wouldn't be a bad move for Fulham to dip into the market for that type of player. And I think from what I've seen so far, he's very much of the Akanovic mould. And I think he'll fit right in with what Fulham are looking to do.
Okay, very good. And let's see if this happens. I just saw something recently, so we'll see if this actually comes to fruition. Like I said, it's speculation, but I find it interesting that you see him as a Jokanovic type of player. Before we move on, just overall, Andrew, because this is the first time I've talked to you, what have you made of his signing so far? Do you see them all fitting a certain mold?
Yeah, he seems to be changing, for me, he's changing the way that we play. When we spoke about this off-air, and there's a couple of things that spring to mind to me so far. Set pieces. Whenever we had a corner over the last couple of seasons, it was a bit of a head in the hands moment. You know, it was more of a case of thinking, well, we could actually get caught on the break here, and let's make sure we've got a couple of people back, as opposed to saying, right, let's nod one in, let's go one up, two up, let's make it count. Whereas now, certainly over the last couple of games, two, three games, we've seen a different approach. And whether that's down to the fact that Kearney's taking the corners or Matt Smith's up front is there to be seen. But I think, you know, that's a good thing. We look a threat. We look like we mean business on that end of the field, and it's good to see. In terms of a Jokanovic type of player, I think it's interesting. You know, you've got pacey, attacking-minded players that he seems to have brought in, certainly in a Luko and Aiti. And the new lad that he's recently brought in seems to be of the similar mould as well, in terms of Jezebel coming to Fulham. And I think it's what we need. We need to run at the other teams. We need to have a go, have a crack. It's the only way you're gonna win games. Whereas before, it was too much of a passing back type of game and trying to unlock the defence. And we scored a lot of goals, but the table doesn't lie at the end of the season. And I think it's telling that we were where we were. But I think it's going to be interesting. I think you can see a particular type of player that he's going for. And I think Johansson would fit that mould.
Okay, very good, my friend. And you were just talking about pace, and I'm just going to work off that a little bit because you're talking about some of the other players. And I said this to David Hulley once because he's been clamoring for the past two seasons. We don't have enough pace. Well, now we have a good amount of pace. And it's funny because when Ryan Fredericks comes back in a month or two, we'll have even more pace. It'll almost be like a new signing because he's been out for a long time. You'll have even more pace. But I have this theory, and I want your thoughts on this. And I think we saw this against Preston North, and maybe we'll see this against Leeds United. I think pace travels, meaning that I think it helps a great deal when you have pace with you when you are the opposition away, you know, definitely on the counterattack. I think it helps a great deal having that pace. I think that'll make things easier for Fulham traveling away from Craven Cottage this season. What are your thoughts about my theory on pace traveling well?
No, I agree. I think it's if you look at the teams that have gone up, I think pace plays an important part in it. It's something, and I would agree with David, it's something that we've needed for a long time. There's nothing worse after 70, 80 minutes when you're tired, having someone either A, come on, or someone that's, you know, still full of energy running at you. It's not what you want. This league's a very physical league. And I think pace is, for me, is one of the ways of creating goals, as opposed to lumping it up top and seeing what happens. I think a lot of it's psychological as well, and that's the way I see it. If you're able to run at the player, frighten him, get in his head, if you skin him early doors, get round him, put a pass in, it makes him think, and it's got the ability to throw people off guard. What's he going to do? Which way is he going to go? And anyone with a bit of guile and trickery around them, coupled with pace, they're going to cause problems. And we've seen that so far. And it's refreshing to see. It's refreshing to see. And it wasn't that long ago that Fredericks, when he was fit, you were, you know, begging for him to run at the players, maybe cut inside or maybe run down the wing. And now we have that. And look at the difference we've made.
It's great. It's great to watch. Like I said, I was just telling you off air that I was watching the replay. And when you see how quickly we can go from the back to the front, it's really nice to see. Especially late in matches. Like, this goes back to having that late in matches, you know. Going back to the Crystal Palace match that you went to, very end of the match. When's the last time you saw someone be able to finish off a match like that, Andrew? And a good amount of that has to do with pace.
It hasn't happened very often recently, has it? There's a bit of excitement around the place now. You don't quite know what's going to happen, but in a good way, if you know what I mean. It's a very good time, I think, at the moment. And I hope that it continues. I hope Jukanović gets the players that he wants. And, you know, he's able, this transfer window, to make his mark on the team and make it his own. And from what he's done so far, I think you've got to give him credit. And I really do hope that he does go out and adds the players that he wants to complete the team that he would like. Whether it be Pacey, whether he goes out and gets another striker, who knows? But I think he's had the time this summer to stamp on the team, to make his stamp on the team, should I say. And I think he's doing it very well.
And I agree with you on all your points, especially the one that you just said, that you want him to still bring in the players that he needs to take it to the next level. Listen, this guy has huge ambition, Andrew. And I've said this to the co-host. I don't think he's actually thinking top six, my friend. I think he's thinking about automatic promotion. I know that sounds weird to say, especially with Fulham, the way it's been. But I think that's as high as his ambition is. He wants a team that can probably win automatic promotion. That's why you're probably seeing him continue to talk about, I need players, because that's where he wants to be. He wants to be back in the Premier League. He wants to take Fulham with him back to the Premier League. And I like that in a manager that has that type of ambition. I don't see this as a negative. Some say, well, it sounds a little threatening. I don't see it that way, Andrew. I see it as encouraging, because he wants the best for Fulham Football Club, the best for himself. And he needs
absolutely
help. And he needs help, my friend. This is not the finished article. I like what they've done. If they do not add to this, we'll have a pretty decent season. Well, I don't want to have a pretty decent season. I want to have an excellent season. And so does he, and I'm sure you do as well. So my thought is that everyone associated behind the scenes, along with Jukanović, they need to find these players for him and bring them in. And I know it takes two to make a deal, but they've got, you know, and I'm sure that they're working hard at this. And let's just hope, my friend, that they get the players he needs. Right now, it's a good base, but you need more players. He needs more players. We're still a thin squad. We don't have enough numbers. And we need more quality players. And because you want competition at every position. I say,
absolutely,
Andrew, and we've talked about this as well, I think Jukanović needs starters to come in. I don't want squad players coming in. I think he wants starters to come in.
No, I couldn't agree more. I think it's down to I think it's down to the players to hold on to this shirt. But you don't want. There's no point bringing someone in if they don't have the ability to go into the first team. You don't want to bring anyone in that's not better than you've already got. You know, especially with a financial fair play, you don't want to eat
right
up your budget and the money that you've got. What's the point of bringing someone in if they're not going to add to what you've got? I think it's a complete waste of time. It's a complete waste
exactly
of money. And you're carrying someone for a season or two or three seasons that effectively is no good. It's not what you need. You're not going to go up like that either, are you?
No, and this all goes down to talking about the McCormack money and his comment that he plans to use it and more, you know. And listen, I'm all for spending money, and you know, and I've heard this many times. They got to spend money, and I agree with that. But the bigger point is spending it wisely. It's not just spending
oh,
the money,
absolutely,
you know. And I want them to spend it on the right players, Andrew. They brought in too many of the wrong players, you know, that did not fit Fulham. You know, again, we can go back to Brian Ruiz, Kostas Mitroglou. They spent money. They spent serious money on those players, but did not work out. I want players that are specifically coming in for Jokanović to fit what he needs to win. And if it costs, say, £1 million, fine. If it costs £4 million, fine. Whatever it is, get them in here. Spend the money wisely. That's what I'm all about, my friend. All right.
No, absolutely.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did you have one final thought on that?
No, the only thing I was going to say was, you know, when you give a manager money, you look at his track record. What's he bought in? What's he going to do with it? And I think, you know, given what Jokanović has bought in so far, and arguably Odoi's a good example of that. I mean, I'd never heard of him before this, and he's fit right in, and I think he's played two solid games so far, and I think it's about trusting the manager, and I think, you know, it works both ways, and I think he's shown that he can sign a good player, and I think we have to back him.
I totally agree with you, my friend. Okay, let's move on. Let's go into the Cottage Talk Roundtable. I have two very interesting topics to go through with you. One, you and I were already talking off air, so let's talk about it now. If you were Slavisa, how would you be using Matt Smith? Meaning, would you be starting him or have him as a plan B off the bench? Now, we've talked a great deal in Cottage Talk about him being a plan B. I've seen him on several occasions. I've said plan B. But the issue right now is he's scoring goals, so how can he not be a starter? This is an interesting discussion that I wanted to have with you. So if you're Slavisa, how do you handle Matt Smith right now?
I think Matt Smith's already answered that for us, dare I say. At the start of the season, you know, I think it was pretty obvious that McCormack was going, and it was a case that we would be left, and Dembele, we would be left with Smith and Woodrow. And at that point, you're thinking you have to bring in a proven goal scorer, and I don't think that's changed. I think the scenario is still the same. You do need a proven goal scorer at that level. But for me, I think Smith's made the shirt his own. It's his to lose, and I think over the last two games, he's really come to the forefront. He's really made that number nine shirt his own, and I think it's absolutely fantastic that he's done it. And I'll be honest with you, and I think I can say this on behalf of a few people out there, he's surprised us. The team surprised us, and he looks a different player. He looks confident. You know, you've got every opportunity of scoring. He can head them in. He can, you know, shoot. He can shoot well. I think he's done really well. But I do still think we need to bring in another goal scorer. But for me, at the moment, he's scoring goals. He's causing defenses all sorts of problems, and that can, you know, easily be seen at Newcastle. This is a team that, effectively, if you believe what you read, they've already won the league, and he made a mess of their defence. He got the winner, 3 points, and all of a sudden, it's, you know, you're looking at things a little bit differently. You've played the champions elect, dare I say it, in Newcastle, if you believe what you read, and he played very well, and he played very well against Preston. I think you have to stick with him. It's a long season.
Right.
I'd be amazed if he could do this every game, every week. You have to have rotation. You've obviously got Woodrow and Aluko, but worst case scenario, you get a few injuries, you're left a little bit short. Every game counts. For me, I will keep him, start him, but I think you do need that proven goal scorer to come in and step in when needed.
I totally agree with that. They definitely need a proven goal scorer, but right now, how could you not keep playing him, especially against his former club, Leeds United? You have to play him. And I told you this off air, something that really stood out for me, listening to the match and then watching it back, Andrew, the defensive contributions that Matt Smith gave Fulham in the last match against Preston North End need to be mentioned. He was key defending these corners, being 6'6". He was heading them out. And he did an excellent job. Think about how much we have struggled being able to take care of defending corners. And in one game, he was a big part of defending several corners against Preston North End, which is encouraging. And I didn't even dawn on me. Obviously, it should have. He's 6'6", but it's not just about scoring goals. He can also help us defensively.
Yeah, and it's an example of how well we're playing to our strengths at the moment. It's not like you're going to get Matt Smith on the breakaway running down the pitch off a corner, but you stick him in the box, head away any corners, and you've got the lads in Aite and Aluko and Kearney. I mean, what a run against Preston the other day. That have that ability to do it, and I think it's refreshing to see. And fair play to the lad. You know, I was surprised. I'm surprised he's done as well as he's done, but at the same time, I'm over the moon for him. You know, being in McCormack's shadow all last season, it can't be easy. And I think I hope it's his time to shine. I hope he comes out and you know, carries on the way he's going. Fair play to him. I'm delighted for him.
I'm happy for him too. And listen, let's give him credit. You know, people forget he did score a bunch of goals on Owens League One for Bristol City, and then on loan, and then he came back to us. But yes, he had McCormack in front of him, obviously, and Moussa Dembele, and he seems like the type of player that needs to play to build up the momentum for him to score. But he's already done it now in two straight games. So, like you said, very good for him. And I was actually impressed with how he helped us out defend corners, which we have been dreadful in the last few seasons. And thought he was a big help against Preston North End. All right, my friend, let's move on. I have one other topic. This has been a topic, if you go on social media, go on the message boards, people have been talking about this. So why don't we talk about it? Do you think a statistical model to help select potential signings should be used by Fulham to basically bring in players?
Yeah, it's an interesting debate. This I think it's useful to have statistics on players, and that's what the game. There's no shortage of statistics now, is there? Compared to what it was over the last 5-10 years, but I think you can also be clouded by statistics. At the end of the day, there's a human being that's there to play football, and you need to understand, you know, his emotions, how to motivate him, what makes them tick, what doesn't make them tick, and how to get the best out of them. And I don't think statistics can do that. I think it's down to the coach and the club to do that. But for me, I think it's a useful tool of identifying players and looking at what they're good at, what they're not so good at. But for me, you have to go out and scout them. You have to watch them, to understand them. And I think as well, you know, if you're out there scouting players, and you'll see this at any football game where you're, you know, watching it live, you see things differently to what the cameras show you. There's a lot goes on off the ball than it does on. And I don't necessarily think at times statistics can show you that. I think it's a useful tool, but for me, I wouldn't rely on it. I mean, I think, was it Matilla? Was it a good example of that?
Matilla was, yes.
Yes, and that speaks for itself, really. recently been released. I mean, don't get me wrong, I think it was Warburton, when he was at Brentford, used it quite a lot.
Yes. Yeah.
And they did very well, but for every one club that does very well, there are a lot of clubs out there that don't do so well. But for me, it's a good tool, but I wouldn't rely on it solely to sign a player. Absolutely not.
See, I'm right there with you, and I've mentioned this on Cottage Talk in the past, and the reason why I bring it up, because there's been a good amount of talk about that. There's been speculation of Fulham having this stats guy being a factor in potential signings. And again, this is speculation. My thoughts on this is if there is someone that has put together an algorithm, a statistical model that uncovers certain players for then Slavisa and his scouts to then check out, I don't have a problem with that. If it uncovers a player that you weren't normally going to go after, fine. But ultimately, you just mentioned it should be a combination of the tool itself, and then of course the scouting, t- talking to the player, finding out about the player, and then what Slavisa needs. There has to be a combination of many things. If it's used as a tool, I'll say it once again, I'm not against it. I just don't want it to be the only thing that makes decisions, because that goes back to over here with Moneyball. Moneyball, many decisions with the Oakland A's going back 15 years ago were made because of stats, trying to uncover hidden jewels, and because they were on a limited budget, and that's what they were trying to do. This is a different situation. This is, and they were playing a certain way to match the stats. So this is completely different. This is just one piece of the pie to make a decision for me. If this was the number one factor in deciding who comes and who goes, I'm completely against it. If it's there to help Slavisa, not against it. Does that make sense, Andrew?
No, absolutely. There are so many tools out there, and you've got to utilize what you can. And as you say, if that's one way of helping somebody getting the right player, absolutely. If it's the only way of doing it, not at all. I mean, if you were to look at that, you know, in the working world, let's be perfectly honest. Would you employ someone without speaking to them or watching them or sitting down and interviewing? I know it's slightly different, but you want to get to know the person. You want to get to know whether they fit into your philosophy as an organization. Do they buy into it? Are they going to cause you problems? Do they have different ideas? Are they going to rub up people the wrong way that are already there? Who knows? And this is where it's interesting. This is where you've got to, to scout them and to find out more about the person as opposed to the player. I think the two go hand in hand, but I wouldn't use it solely as a way of bringing in players. Absolutely not.
I'm there with you, and I'm completely against that. It's been used in sports over here. I think you mentioned Brentford. Brentford were using it, and if that's going to be the only decision that you're going to make on players, I'm not for that at all. I'm completely against it. If it's used as it's just part of the situation to help, that's a different story. But definitely not the deciding factor. You know, it needs to be this player because of stats. No, I'm completely against that. All right, my friend, let's get into our preview, and we're going to do this in several ways. I'm going to throw a bunch of information at you. We'll do this in kind of waves. I'm going to share some information for you from WhoScored.com. Then I'll be sharing information after we talk about information I'm about to give you from WhoScored. From a blogger, a Leeds United blogger, I sent him a bunch of questions and got some very interesting answers back. I think that's going to help us with our preview. But let's start with the information from WhoScored.com. I want to get your thoughts on this. This is a website I go off, and that's statistic-based, but they usually have some very good information for me, so I want to share that with you. And I'm going to give you some information that they have on Leeds United. Their highest-rated players from the last match for Leeds United were midfielder Rolando Vieira, midfielder Hedy Sacko, and center-back Saul Bamba. So those are three players to watch, according to WhoScored.com. Leeds United strengths: creating long shot opportunities, creating chances through individual skill, protecting the lead, stealing the ball from the opposition. Those are the strengths. They have more weaknesses. Here are their weaknesses: finishing scoring chances, stopping opponents from creating chances, aerial duels, defending set pieces, avoiding individual errors, avoiding fouling in dangerous areas, defending against through ball attacks. They're very weak at avoiding individual errors, avoiding fouls in dangerous areas, and defending against through ball attacks. I know I'm repeating myself, but they're very weak in those three areas. Their style: attempt through balls often, possession football, attacking down the right, rotate their first 11, opponents play aggressively against them, non-aggressive, playing in their own half. Okay, that's information from WhoScored.com. I'll just give you their match forecast. There will be a low number of cards shown. Fulham will score from a set-piece situation. Fulham will dominate in the air. That's part of their prediction. And their overall prediction for this match, this is from WhoScored.com, Leeds come into this game as one of five pointless sides, while Fulham are one of only four to have taken maximum points from their first two games. Gary Monk will be keen to end that barren run in front of his own fans, while full forward Matt Smith will relish his return to Ellen Road after scoring in both of the White League victories. After defeat by Birmingham, Leeds were criticized by Monk for having a soft center. He did say that. I actually saw the interview when he did say that. They will respond with victory. WhoScored.com is actually predicting a 2-1 victory for Leeds United. Okay, my friend, I'm just going to start here. What stands out to you from the information that I just shared with you about Leeds United from WhoScored.com?
I mean, it doesn't surprise me, with Leeds giving away fouls and being aggressive. It's what they've been known for a number of years. And not finishing off the chances. I think what we've seen from Leeds over the last couple of seasons is that they're very erratic. You don't know what you're going to get. It's a very hard place to go, Elland Road, if the crowd are on top. For me personally, I think, if it were down to me, I'd really go at them in the first 20 to 25 minutes. Run at them, frighten them with a pace, get a few balls into the box. And if you can nick a goal in the first 20 minutes, it doesn't become an easy place for the players, especially after they've lost two already. And I think that'll be key, having a strong start. And I know they had a strong start the other day, and I think that'll be key for these moving forward. I think, with what they've got, in midfield, I think with McDonald, his ability to pick a pass, and Smith being on fire at the moment, and Aluko, let's not forget Aluko. I think there's a very good chance that we'll score. And I think for me personally, from what you were saying about them not being able to, one of their weaknesses for finishing off their chances.
Correct.
We've got a good defensive partnership in Madeline and Callas, and it's the first time for a long time that you've got confidence in the defence, and I think it bodes well for Fulham.
No, I totally agree with you, and I want to go off talking about their weaknesses. I'm glad you're talking about their finishing scoring chances. Two things that stood out to me when I was going through this for our preview were aerial duels and defending set pieces, because I think we have improved now with Kearney's delivery in the box. And if Matt Smith plays, if they're terrible on defending set pieces, this could be an easy avenue for Fulham to score a goal, Andrew.
Absolutely. It's not that, we touched upon it earlier. Fulham and the set pieces, they've not gone hand in hand for the last couple of years. A game like Leeds United, given how we started the season, compared to what it was last season, you'd be happy with a draw, try not to lose the game, and rely on your home form a little bit more. Whereas now, they've changed the mentality, they've changed the way they play, arguably, and it's testament to the fact that, they have scored off the set pieces. I think you're looking at this on paper, it's a hard place to go. Every game in the Championship is difficult, but there's no reason why we can't go there and get stuck in and get a result. Key, start strong, run at them, and you never know what's going to happen. If you've got Aluko and Aite running down the wing, Kearney creating chances, picking passes, you might get a corner, you might get a free kick if they're liable to give away a foul in a dangerous place. And we all know that Kearney can hit a free kick, and I think it all bodes well. I personally think I think the victory will be in us attacking as opposed to nicking a 1-0. I fancy this to be a higher scoring game than what we've seen so far this season.
Oh, very interesting. When I share this information for you from Johnny Wakefield from the website throughitalltogether.sbnation.com, who's the editor over there, it's gonna go hand in hand what you just said, and I'll be sharing that just momentarily, because he does talk a lot about what we should do, because I ask him, how do Fulham beat Leeds United? And he's going to share that. Well, I'm going to share once I read that information to you. But very interesting analysis, my friend. And let's get to what Johnny Wakefield shared with me. I asked him several questions. We'll go through it. First, I was just curious his thoughts on Gary Monk. Gary Monk is is the new manager. So this is what Johnny Wakefield shared with me. He is the editor for ThroughItAllTogether.SBNation.com. Please do check out their website on Leeds United. Here's his answer about Gary Monk. Monk has been as frustrated as the rest of us. He came on this summer and brought a lot of professionalism and optimism, but it has not been a good week for him. We lost horribly to QPR in the opener, could barely handle Fleetwood, lost at home to a poor Birmingham side, and now they're all calls for his head. Welcome to Leeds. I think he needs time to put his squad together. There are clearly some players that need to leave and be replaced, but I think he's been the best thing that's happened to Leeds in years. I just hope Chelino gives him the time he needs to turn this around. Doubtful he will, too. Okay. And that's his thoughts on Gary Monk. Quickly, what are your thoughts about Gary Monk and also what Johnny Wakefield had to share about the Leeds manager?
I think he's hit the nail on the head. I think Monk's a great manager from what he's done at Swansea. You know, I thought he held himself very well. You know, his teams were hard to break down. I think he offers a lot, you know, in this league. If he were to, you know, be linked with a Fulham job over the last year or so, I'd have been happy. I think he needs time. If it carries on like this, I don't think he'll get time. And that's the unfortunate thing with Leeds. We all know what their own is about. And time is not a luxury that any manager that's been at Leeds since he's been there has had. So this is, you know what I'm saying about it, it's a high-pressure job for him to take. And I was surprised he took it, to be honest with you, because you've got a history there of a manager a chairman that fires managers like they're going out of fashion. And off the back of Swansea, Leeds are a big club, but I'm not so sure if I was him that I would have gone there, given the current owner. To be perfectly honest with you.
You know, Andrew, I think you said that fantastically, because that's how I feel. If you have a bad owner, you're going nowhere, because it goes hand in hand with everyone. But it needs to start from the top. And if you have someone like that, Leeds United are a huge club, but under that owner, I don't know if they can progress under that owner. He's crazy, and it's difficult to win under someone like that, to work under someone like that. So I totally agree with that assessment from you. All right, let's move on. Then I asked Johnny, tell us the players to watch in this match for Leeds United. He said, definitely watch Marcus Antonsson up top and Kamar Roof and Hedi Sako when they see the pitch. Antonsson came over from Sweden this summer, and his goal late against Fleetwood should have secured his spot in the starting 11. His first touch is special. He can dance around anyone, and he has changed the game for us whenever he's on the pitch. Roof and Sako are both young speedsters, and while Roof is probably the better of the pair, Sako scored our other goal this year off of a great ball from Alex Mollet. And then I asked him about strengths. He goes, strengths, I guess Antonsson, Sako, and Roof. We've been pretty bad the first week of the season, so strengths are hard to see right now. Oh, I'll say the fan support at Ellen Road is our strength. Yeah, that's let's go with that. So that's what he said about strengths. Then I just asked him players that he's concerned with Fulham. He just says, Matt Smith, our back four is atrocious at the moment. No cohesion, lazy on the ball. So he could take advantage of that Tuesday night. Our defense is terrified. Okay. I have a few more questions and answers, but I just want to get your thoughts on what I just shared from the Leeds United blogger and editor, Johnny Wakefield, about players to watch, strengths, and then, of course, what he fears from Fulham.
I think, you know, with regards to the players to watch, you know, you've got a couple of lads there that you mentioned that are, you know, pacey and tricky to deal with. But I think personally, we've got the, you know, ability in our team to deal with that. You know, if he plays Parker, which I doubt he will, to be honest, I think he'll probably go more Tunnicliffe.
I agree.
And if he does play Tunnicliffe, you've got someone that's got the legs, someone that might be a bit brash with his challenges every now and again, but someone that's box to box, and you've got Madeline Callas at the back that are calm and composed, and I think that gives the team confidence for me. You know, when someone does attack, that you've got those two at the back. So I think they've got Fulham have got it in the locker to deal with them. But it's quite nice to hear someone talk about their team having defensive frailties for a change and it not being something that we're talking about. And I think it plays into our hands. I think, you know, he's mentioned the strengths being the fans, and I mean, you can't criticise any fans like that, but, you know, there's a team there, and if that's the only good thing you can say is the fans, then hey, a bit of trouble, really, haven't you? Nothing good to say about the team particularly, but I think if we start the game well and really go at them, put a few crosses in, put a few corners in, if we get them, stick them in the box. We all know what Smith can do. He'll be up for the game. He has to be up for the game. And I think we can cause them all sorts of problems. And like I say, if you can get the crowd on top of their backs, Leeds backs, then, you know, mistakes creep in. We've got the players, I think, at the moment, that have got the ability to pounce on them. And if you look at Aluko's goal against Preston the other day, I think it shows that someone that's there, you know, to get stuck into, you know, like a bit of a poacher's goal, someone that can capitalise on people's mistakes. And if you've got a dodgy back four and those two up top, I think there's a very good chance of scoring. I genuinely believe we've got a good chance of scoring, and I can't see Leeds causing too many problems, and I'm touching wood as I say that.
Okay, well, here's the question that's going to go just with everything you've been talking about when we've been talking about Leeds United. I asked him, if you were Fulham head coach Slavisa Jokanović, what would be your strategy to take advantage of the weaknesses with Leeds United? Johnny Wakefield's answer, attack, attack, attack. Four set pieces, we've been terrible on corners, and go after our back line hard. Kyle Bartley hasn't had a successful tackle yet this season. Luke Ayling just joined the squad Friday. Saul Bamba has been a mess. Charlie Taylor wants to leave and plays like it. Gaetano Baratti is injured, and Lewis Cole has made too many costly mistakes. We're rough back there at the moment. Along with that, he does predict, and I'll just give the prediction. He says, I'm saying 2-2, and we'll be happy with a single point at home. Anything better than that, and I'm ecstatic. Anything worse than that, and I think Monk might lose his job by the weekend. Seriously, we're that ridiculous. Okay, and that was from Johnny Wakefield, the editor from throughitalltogether.sbnation.com. Please check it out, this Leeds United blog. It's very good, and I think Johnny was honest. All right, Andrew, what did you make of what Johnny had to say, how to beat Leeds United tomorrow?
I think it's interesting, you know, just saying attack, attack, attack. It's, you know, I mentioned it earlier. I'm sure teams said the same thing about us last season. and, you know, you knew when teams were coming to Craven Cottage that they were going to, you know, it was put the balls in the box, get it in the, you know, the corridor of uncertainty, see what happens. You know, they're dodgy at the back. And I think, you know, there's a great opportunity here to go on and take 3 points. If you can cause them all sorts of problems, you know, in the first 5 minutes, just run at them. You know, we know Kearney can do it. And I know I've said it earlier, but what a run against Preston the other day. And I think Fulham have got the confidence at the moment. You know, if you're up against a man at the moment and you're Luke Oaite, Kearney, McDonald, you can beat them. You can pick a pass. You can cut through the defence. And I think, you know, when the going's good for a team, it goes good. You make your own luck, but I think they've got the skills in the locker. If they can get the ball in the box, who knows what's going to happen? That's where it needs to be, there or thereabouts for me. I think we've got the players to do it. If they're a bit shaky at the back, then I think it's a good opportunity to go on and really punish them and make a statement.
I totally agree. Run at them. Run at just like Johnny said, attack, attack, attack. Just go right at them and see if they can handle it. Because based on what he shared with us, they've been struggling defensively. So you got to go at their weaknesses. This is their weakness right now. And honestly, right now, Fulham can really attack those weaknesses. They have the talent right now to attack it. So I agree with Johnny Wakefield and yourself. Attack, attack, attack. Okay, my friend. Let's now talk about Fulham. Who are your key players tomorrow?
I think looking at how they've played so far, it's hard to pick out one single player, but I'll go with, I'm going to sit on the fence here and go with two. I think Kearney stands out as the obvious key player for me, someone that can create, someone that's got a goal or two in his locker, and I really hope we see that from him this season. You know, he scored, you know, a fair few last season, and I think a game like this is an absolutely cracking opportunity for him to get one, and to get on the score sheet and to get a season started in terms of goals. I think Kearney, you know, will be the key man for me to begin with, but I would also say Aluko as well. Getting that goal the other day will do him no harm whatsoever, and I think those two players can really push on and have a good game. But it's so hard to pick one or two players for me at the moment. I think the team are playing well. There's real cohesion there. They're organised. They seem to be up for the fight. And I would go with those two myself. But I think it's very much a team game, as they've showed, and that they are doing fantastic at the moment. But they're my two.
Okay, very good. You've already talked about what Fulham really needed to do to win this match, so we can move on from that. You really did a very nice job of explaining what Fulham needed to do. So let's now go to your starting 11, your Slavisa. I'll put you in the shoes of Slavisa. What would be your starting 11?
I would keep it exactly the same as it was against Preston, but I would change Parker for Tunnicliffe.
For Tunnicliffe.
Purely because I think Parker in this type of game can come on after 60, 70 minutes and slow the game down and take the zing out of it. Whereas to begin with, if they have got the two tricky lads that can cause all sorts of problems, I think someone like Tunnicliffe can, box to box, has got the legs there to really control the game. Well, not control the game so much, but I think he's got it in him to have an impact. And I personally think that he will start. I think anyway.
Okay, very good, my friend. All right, it's time to go to predictions, and I put predictions for fans to predict on the Cottage Talk Facebook page. I also put a poll up on the Cottage Talk Twitter page earlier today, and I've had 221 votes. It's a good amount of votes, Andrew. And the results are this: loss 7%, draw 27%, win 66%. The Fulham supporters are feeling pretty confident going into this match. That's on the Twitter page. Now I'm going to go to the Facebook page where I can actually share comments with you. And I do want to mention one other thing. Cottage Talk co-host Mike Gregg, when he saw my poll, he just responded with one word. I said, "What is your prediction?" And he just responded back, "Tough." So it sounds like Mike thinks that this is going to be a tough match for Fulham, which it could very easily be. Okay, here are the predictions on the Cottage Talk Facebook page. Stephen Trelor is going with 4-1 to Fulham. Ryan Fulick, 3-0 to Fulham. Chris Baugh, this is Leeds desperate for the win. They're at home. I'm going 2-1 to Leeds. Brendan Morris, 2-1 to Fulham. Andrew McKenzie, 1-0 to Fulham. Dan Pantone, 1-0 to us. Jason Jowden, hope 3-1 to Fulham, but I think it'll be 2-1 Leeds. Okay. Samuel Beatty, 2-1 to Fulham. James Eade, Kearney and Smith to score, 2-0 victory. Gary Martin, 1-1. Guy Rofe, 2-1. Ben Reed, 2-2 draw. Chris Davidson, Leeds have lost their opening two games and will be desperate not to lose, but I think we can manage a point 0-0 or 1-1. John Smythe, 1-1. Gary Cooper, maybe 2-1 to Fulham. Simon Rugg, 3-2 to Fulham. Billy Marsh, 1-0 to Fulham. Paul Save Gibling, and Paul, if I said that wrong, I apologize, 2-0 to Fulham. Simon Haneed, 1-1. Brian Hughes, 2-1 to Fulham. Matthew Camp, 0-0. Lydia Esther Campbell, 3-1 victory. Michael Connor, 2-0 to Fulham. Rory Downing, 3-2 to Fulham. And John Wright, 1-0 to Fulham. Kearney to score. We have so many more. I unfortunately, guys, we have to move on with the show. But thank you, everyone, for sending your predictions. All right, Andrew, over to you. What are your thoughts about the predictions from the foam supporters on the Facebook page and also my Twitter poll?
I think what Mike said, with it being a tough game, is make no mistake, confidence is high, but it's going to be a tough game. No one wants to go to Leeds United and play on a midweek. It's a hard ground. The fans can get on top of you and make it a really long night for you. I think the poll on Twitter shows the confidence that we've got at the moment. But I would agree that it's going to be a tough game. But I think we'll win. I think they've got it in them to do it. But Leeds, for me, it's going to be key in the first 20, 25 minutes. How do we start? How do Leeds start? If you can knock their confidence, dent them, I think we've got a very good chance. Don't get me wrong. Away at Leeds on a midweek, you'd be happy with a point. You'd happy
sure.
to come away with a point. But why not go for the win? We've done well so far. Let's stick our necks out and say we can do it. I think it's going to be tough. But at the same time, I think, they've got it in them to do it. I hope they do.
Okay, very good. So I'm going to go right back to you. What's your prediction?
3-1.
3-1.
I'm going to go 3-1, and I'm going to go
after all that, you're going 3-1. I love it.
Yeah. I think it's going to be tough, but I think the first 20 minutes
are key. I did not see that coming. I thought you were going to say 1-0, 2-1, and you're going 3-1. I love it, Andrew. I do.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I wrote it down earlier, and I'm going to stick with it. I think it's going to be a tough game, but I think once Smith gets going and if Kearney gets one, I don't see any reason why we can't go on. It may take us to go 1-0 down. I don't know. We'll see. But I'm going to stick with 3-1.
Okay. I'm actually going to go with the same score line from Preston North then. I'm going to see if I can go 2-for-2 here. I got it right, 2-1, and I'm going to go again 2-1. And I actually think Matt Smith will score again. But I think Tom Kearney's also going to score in this match. I think he's due. I think he's playing really good. I think he's going to score a goal in this match. So I'm going to say 2-1 to Fulham. Okay, listen.
Let's hope so.
Before we go, you were fantastic tonight, my friend. You were just fantastic. I like to do this at the end of each show if I can. Final thoughts before we go.
It's a great start to the season. Some good new players coming in. A change of style, which is refreshing to see. And I think Jokanović has really lifted the place up. It's you're really looking forward to to going to the Cottage and seeing how they do. But at the same time, we're two games in. We started well. It's a long season. Take each game as it comes. See how we get on. There'll be some tough roads ahead. But for now, just going to enjoy it and come on, you Whites, is all I can say. I think it's been a great start, and there's optimism around the place. We've not had this for 2-3 years, and I think there's something special happening at the moment. Whether it's the change of mentality, change of players, I think he's got the balance right, and I think McDonald was an absolutely great signing for us. And I hope he can bring in the players that he wants to have a good crack at the season this year. We'll just see where it takes us and enjoy the ride.
Okay, very good. And I'm actually going to talk about my final thought from last night because I want your thoughts on this. We were talking last night, Andrew. I don't know if you listened to or heard this part of it, but mentioned that a big sign for Fulham. This is because it's going to happen. They're going to lose, and they could lose, say, a match 3-1, 4-1. It's going to be about the reaction to that. I want to see what this team is made of when they do lose. I think that they have character, but I've seen the last several seasons when you have a losing mentality, it just keeps going and going and going. I think when you start winning and you have that loss, I think you can go down two paths. It's the reaction to that loss that I want to see. I want to see if they keep going on a positive path rather than going down a negative path. So I think a key to Fulham's season is going to be that first, not a 2-1 loss. I would say a 3-1 or 2-0 loss, more than one goal when they lose, and people start talking about them being the old Fulham again. What are your thoughts about that?
No, I agree. I think it'll be interesting to see what they're made of. You know, winning's a habit and losing's a habit. You know, I do believe that, you know, some players and some teams are, dare I say it, beaten before they already get on the pitch. They're not up
exactly.
They're not up for the fight. And I think what Slavisa brings, the way I see it, he brings grit. But you're right, it's going to happen at some point. And when it happens, I just hope they go down the path of saying, right, we're better than this. Let's dust
exactly.
ourselves down, we'll go again. And let's put another run together of, you know, 3 or 4 wins and maybe the draw. You know, putting a few draws before, you know, it happens again. I think with the new players that have come in, I think it will change. You know, a change of mentality already happened, albeit for the better. And I think, well, why not? You know, as I know you're a glass half full man, so I would say the same thing. If they get beat, why can't we come back from it? Why can't we do better? You know, it's interesting because. Not that I'm comparing Fulham to Man United in any way, shape, or form, but you know it's always interesting when they get beaten that they come back and go on a huge run because
exactly
of who they are. And you know if we can, you know, have that loss and get over it, and the games come thick and fast, I don't see any reason at the moment why we can't do that. And this is what. You know, what we mean when we talk about having strength and depth, certainly up top. If Matt Smith goes on a barren run or he doesn't score for a few games, who have you got there to replace him?
Exactly.
And what do you do? So I think it's going to be interesting. I think they'll be all right. I think you've got to be confident from what you've seen so far. So I think we'll go down the right path. If you'd asked me that last season, I wouldn't have fancied it. But now, I think there's a good chance. I think they'll be all right.
I hope
they'll get over it.
I hope so, because that can be all the difference in the world. Your response from a bad loss can tell you a great deal about a team, because you can all come together, and you could say, enough with this losing, and you can go on a run. And not that I want Fulham to lose, but they are going to lose at some point, and they're probably going to have a tough loss. I want to see what the response is going to be. I want to see what they're made of, because you can take a bad loss into building a season. You can actually do that. If your response is positive, you can learn from a loss a great deal. If you learn from it and you build from it, then you can go far. And that to me is going to be a key in this season when we have that first bad loss and we could have others. How do you respond to it? That's what I'm curious to see, because right now, everything is going very good. Everything, you know, everything's awesome. You know, as you know, from the Lego movie, everything's awesome. But at some point, it's not going to go awesome. It's not going to go great, and it's all going to be about the response. All right, my friend.
No, absolutely.
It's time to wrap up the show, and I just want to thank you very much, Andrew. I hope you come back again soon to be a co-host. You were fantastic, my friend.
Thank you for having me. It's been a real pleasure. Hope to see you soon.
Okay. Very good. Well, it is time to wrap up the show. I'm sorry, Andrew. I was almost going to say your name wrong. That was a great Goldman to end the show for Andrew.
Eilif.
Eilif. Oh, I can't believe I'm struggling to end the show, Andrew. For Andrew Eilif, I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you as always for listening to Cottage Talk. Cheers, my friend.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Bye.